Let's go before the Father. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you to touch my lips, touch my mind with your words, Lord Jesus. I ask you to continue to fill this place with your overflowing Holy Spirit. Bless everybody here. Lord Jesus, we seek you and we love you and we praise your holy name. And we declare you are the Lord of the over everything. And there's nothing too impossible for you. You are a healer. You are a savior. You're everything we need. And we declare right now that the enemy has no hold on us, and we break anything that of the enemy from our past, from now. We're free, and we're in your presence, Lord Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Okay. So I have a word. The Lord had kind of was given me, actually, when we were in Flagstaff over Christmas. And the title of this message is, "It's time for something new and better." And there's another word. In the Bible, the word time and season are kind of used interchangeably. You see it a lot. So you could also call this, it's a season for something new and better. And actually, I taught this in Agua Prieta on Monday to the drug addicts in one of the rehabs. So where I'm going to start, what we have to is, so new year, you know, new is kind of the theme. Year of increase is it's a new theme. And one of the things we always have to remember is when we have Christ, we're already new. And sometimes we just have to remind ourselves that. So I'm going to read a scripture. I know everybody here knows it, has heard it, and some of you probably have memorized it. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. I'll wait because I want you to see it in your Bible. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And I use the New King James. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." New. New. We can't get away from it. New. If you are in Christ, if the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're new, okay? So I'm going to take you to a scripture that, honestly, for a long time in my Christian walk, I kind of struggled with. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. So when you open your Bible in the middle, you get the Psalms, two books to the right. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. I'm going to go to, it's Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Okay. I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 8. Okay. I assume everyone's there. Okay. "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace." I remember reading that when I was a new Christian, and I was like, those are harsh words. I don't understand that. We're not supposed to look at some of those words. Hate, you know, and I was going through that. And, you know, and I'll talk about it. But one of the things the Lord showed me was, don't look at it in the flesh. Look at it in the spirit. The spirit world is real. And there are things we need to hate. We need to hate what Satan is doing. We need to love what the Lord is doing. We need to rip up and throw out the nasty stuff the enemy has tangled us up in. And we need to embrace the good, and we need to sometimes back away. So I'm going to talk about some things. Okay, I'm going to talk about New Year. This is something that I've done. And just because I've done, I'm not telling you to do it, but I'm just as an example. Is one of the things I've done is I've mapped out. Okay, let me back up. I like maps. Matter of fact, I was at Fort Huachuca yesterday, and there was a map there, and I took it. I love maps. Because every time I go to Fort Huachuca, it's like, I don't know my way around here. I just kind of navigate. And maps are really good because they help you know where you are and where you've been. And I'll tell you something I did. I mapped out my spiritual walk. And here it is. It's just a few minutes. I'm not going to bore you. I got saved 16 years ago, 1991. And we were going to a church in Tempe, Arizona. And I mapped out the things the Lord taught me when I was there. Real simple. He taught me how to study the Bible and really study the Bible, to fellowship. And he also taught me how to serve children. We did children's ministry for 12 years. Loved it. Okay? And then the Lord took us on a journey to go to California. And we went to a small, mid-sized town on the coast of California, 70 miles north of Santa Barbara, called Santa Maria. And the Lord taught me how to worship. I didn't know how to worship. Worship in the Spirit. And it was like, wow. Okay. After that, the Lord took us to Flagstaff, where we lived for about a decade. And the Lord taught me how to live in a spiritual desert. I know when I post my Facebooks, everyone's like, oh, I wish I could live in Flagstaff. And Melissa and I are like, I don't know if you really do, because it's a spiritual desert. If anyone's lived there, I've heard people say this. There's 70,000 people in Flagstaff, about 5,000 go to church. Okay? It's a spiritual desert. It's true. And I learned how to live in a spiritual desert. And how was I had to be totally sold out. When I got to Flagstaff, I said, Lord, I don't care what happens, I'm in it for you. And the Lord taught me how to minister outside the walls of the church. That was the first time I ever did it. I ministered for years in the homeless, the rescue mission in Flagstaff. That was my first real ministry outside of the building of the church. And I learned how to share Christ on the street. I had a street ministry with a friend of mine, and we'd share Christ all around the area, Sedona, Williams. And the Lord also taught me how to go into the prison and to preach in the prison. Okay, and then the last thing is the Lord brought us here. We've been here almost 5 years. And one of the things that was an eye-opener, matter of fact, we learned it from the pastors here, was seeing things in the spirit world. Because it's so easy to get tangled up in the flesh. But to open your eyes and see, oh, the spirit world. And it has been enlightening. I mean, it's like, whoa. So one thing's in a map, you got to know where you were, and because the Lord wants to take you somewhere, right? I think everyone knows that. We're not here just to kind of like kick back and sustain. The Lord has a plan for everybody, and He wants you. He wants to take you. But sometimes you need to look back and see, well, where did I go? Well, 16 years ago when I got saved, I've changed a lot. 26. Man, my math. I'm a math professor. Can you believe that? Wow. It's amazing of where I was. And even 26 days ago, I've changed. And the Lord is taking me to new places I've never been before. Okay? So that's a map, a spiritual map. I recommend try it. I don't know. It might not work for you. You may just crumble it up and say, Ramon, silly. Psh, I'm not going to do that. But I did that, and that was really cool. Okay? So I'm going to tell you what I did Monday night with the drug addicts in Agua Prieta. And I read them this in Ecclesiastes. And I said, you know, there's times, this is a new year. I always ask, how many people want new things? And everybody says, I want new things. And occasionally there's a joker who says, I want old things. And so I do this, and some of them know. I think you guys may know. I go to a corner, I go like this. And I pretend to pick something up, and I say, I have an old spider. Do you want it? And sometimes the joker will say, yeah. And I'll say, open your mouth. So no, I don't want that. So nobody wants old things. The Lord has new things for us. But what I told them on Monday was sometimes we got to cut out things to get the new. I went to Reuben's house and he has beautiful tile floor. And you know what? They had to rip up that old carpet to get to put the tile floor. And when I was talking to these guys, some of these guys are heroin addicts. You got to get off heroin before you can get the new thing. Okay? So this is something that I've been asked a lot in Mexico. They're like, we hear you, but how do I do it? Yeah. Okay, right? Pero cómo? I don't know how to do it, but show me. Yeah. And so I gave him an example, and I'm going to do that for you guys. I'm not going to tell you what I learned because we got the Word of God in front of us. I'm going to show you an example of how, okay? So we're going to go, first thing, I want to take you to another real, real familiar scripture. Everybody knows. I bet you there are people here that know this by heart. Go to Romans 10. Romans 10, okay? Do you remember what the drug addicts asked me on Monday? They're like, well, how? Okay, I'm going to show you how. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. 9 and 10. I'm going to read this, and I bet you everyone here will nod their head and say, yeah, I've heard this, if you don't know it. The word says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How do you get saved? What's the first word? Confess. Confess is the word. And I'm going to give you an example of the power of confession. Okay? And there's power in a confession. When you could be in a faraway place, you could be in your closet, you could be all by yourself. Confessing to the Lord has power to save, right? It says right there. But I'm going to lift it up, because one thing the Lord keeps showing me is, okay, you're right here, don't stay there. I'm going to bump it up, okay? Confession, public confession is powerful, incredibly powerful. Okay, so I'm going to give you an example. Okay, we're going to go to Acts chapter 19. Okay, just go to the book to the left, Acts 19. Okay, Acts 19. Remember, they asked me, how do I do it? And I'm going to give you an example. Confession. Okay, Acts 19, we're going to start in verse 11. Because you got to have the background. Because if you don't have the background, it doesn't fit real well. So you got to know where you were, what was going on. Okay? Acts chapter 19, 11. This is Paul when he was ministering throughout all the regions of Asia and Greece. Okay? Acts 19, verse 11 says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Okay? Scary. If you guys haven't seen demonic deliverances, it can be kind of scary. Sometimes they do. Actually, one time me and Melissa were in Cananea, and this one girl comes up to us and she goes, I want to be delivered. And this girl collapsed and started writhing like a snake. Remember that? And then the next girl came up, and she was a border girl, so she spoke English and Spanish, so Melissa heard everything. She goes, I'm scared, I'm a witch. I was like, well, God can deliver you. And she got delivered too. And there were people, like when the one girl was flipping and flopping, there were guys, I mean, big guys. They were like, they ran for the door. They're like, whoa, this is too much. I'm out of here. Okay, so that's scary, right? Deliverance is scary. Look at verse 17. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Okay? That's how. Look at verse 18. After they believed, many who had believed came confessing. Confessing. Do you guys remember when John the Baptist was baptizing? Do you remember when they came out of the water in Matthew 3? Do you guys remember? What did they do? They came out confessing their evil deeds. Okay? So what did they do? They came out confessing and telling their deeds. Look at verse 19. I love this because this has punch to it. What did they do? Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in sight of all. Okay, the power of confession is huge. When it's public, it even goes up. Remember what I said? You can confess in your closet. Powerful. You can get saved. You can be alone. But when you bring it up publicly, there's power. Mighty power. So much that these guys burned their books. Do you know how much 50,000 pieces of silver? One piece of silver was a day's wage. That's a lot of money. That was powerful. Okay? So, and look at verse 20. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Mighty things happen. Mighty things happen. I'm going to tell you a confession I witnessed. This was back in, I think, 2001 or 2002 when we lived in California. We went to a church, and I don't know what brought this on, but there were some ladies in the church, and they came up front, and they confessed to the congregation. They said, "We have had abortions. We killed our children." It was so powerful. I've never been in a church where there wasn't a dry eye. I was crying. Everybody was crying. It was powerful. We watched these young women, and some of them weren't even that necessarily young, but we watched just the burden of that get lifted. It was incredible. I've never seen that before. They confessed it in front of, and it was a pretty big church. I mean, I'm talking, I don't know, 400, 500 people. It was big. It wasn't small. And I watched these ladies. It was almost like the Lord just cleansed them, and they were clean. They didn't have this guilt. They were carrying around. The enemy loves to pile the junk on us. He wants us to walk through our lives with this nasty stuff that we did in the past, and we don't have to. We don't have to. We're not meant to. Actually, it'll wear you out. And we sat kind of up front at that church. I watched women get delivered of this guilt, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful. Okay, so my turn, okay? At a young age, I was probably 14, 15, I started taking drugs, okay? And, you know, it was started little, and it got out of control. I was 16, 17 years old, and I was putting away a fifth of whiskey and taking pills on top of it. I did bad things. So taking drugs, any of you who's ever taken drugs or been an alcoholic, you know that's just not the problem. It's after you do some bad things when you're under the influence. I did that for years. I tormented my parents. It was horrible. But I'm free. I'm free, and that stuff has nothing on me. When I go into a drug rehabilitation center or wherever, I tell them that. And I said, but I haven't touched that stuff in over two decades. Okay? So there's power. Okay, and after I got free of that one, guess what? The enemy's really smart. And actually, I love this magazine. And if you've read it, it's really cool about this guy who lost 95 pounds. It's pretty remarkable. And what's interesting is with me, when I was a drug addict and I didn't get saved, okay? I didn't get saved when I got off drugs. I just picked up another addiction. You guys know how the world treats drug addiction? You know, like heroin addicts, because Melissa and I, we have a good friend whose daughter's a heroin addict. And what they do for heroin addicts is they give them another drug, okay? That's the world's way of getting rid of problems. They just give you another problem, okay? And if you don't think that the drugs they give the heroin addicts are dangerous, you guys know Prince died taking those things. It's deadly. It doesn't work. The world doesn't have an answer. So when I went from drugs, guess what? I became an addict to my work. Melissa will tell you. I didn't do any of the drug thing, but man, I was sold out to my work so much that I compromised my family. It was horrible. So it wasn't until I really got saved and then spirit-filled that I learned, oh, that's what that is. Remember I said about spirit, the spirit world? You got to see in the spirit world. It's an addiction or demonic spirits that want to take control of your life. They're not, you know, the world will say, oh, well, that's just part of your personality. No, God didn't make you like that. God didn't make you a drug addict. God didn't make you a fornicator. Those are spirits that are wanted, that the enemy's using to take control of you. So, okay, power of confession. Power of confession. And again, first thing is you got to get rid of the bad to get the new, right? Just like Reuben's carpet. He had to get rid of that nasty carpet before they could lay the tile. Okay? So, how did these people do it? They believed, they confessed, and then they burned the books. I love that. I love that. And I think you guys know one of my favorite authors in here. I'm not going to talk about what he wrote because I really liked it, but it's not what I want to talk about today. Lee Grady, I really like that guy. I want to meet him. I don't know if I ever will, but I really like him. He wrote an article about, I'll just tell you what it is. How to build bridges in a divisive season. I loved it, but I'm not going to teach you about that. I'm going to teach you about burning bridges, okay? Remember I talked about the spirit world when we read Ecclesiastes, and it said, you know, a time of war and a time of peace, a time to love and a time to hate. Sometimes we need to burn bridges. I love this. So these witches burn their books. They didn't say, oh, you know, we're just going to put them up here on the shelf, okay? Or I'm going to give it to my brother Leo. They didn't do that. They burned them. And that's what we need to do with sin. If we want to continue, remember I talked about that map? If you want to go to that really cool destination the Lord has, a lot of times you got to cut something out. And I'm going to talk about things about the new year. I'll get to that. But there's things that we got to cut out. If you're trying to climb something and you got like heavy weights on you, you're not going to make it. You need to chuck off the weights. Okay? So whatever. Addiction, adulterous relationships, even the little things are burdens you're not meant to carry. We need to chuck them. Get rid of them. Okay? Okay. We all know. I mean, I grew up hearing this about say no to drugs. Okay? That's not a bad thing. And you see it in Mexico. Dino a drogas. And a lot of times they have Dino the dinosaur. It's really cute. Okay. Cutting out the bad is good, right? But you gotta bring in the good, right? Because you're not done. I can preach forever to those drug addicts and say, don't shoot up with heroin. And most of them, when they're in the rehabs or in the prison, they go like this. Yeah, 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 we get it. But remember I said, how? Okay, we're going to get there. Confession is one, is powerful. But you got to fill it with something new. Okay? So when these people burn their books, they didn't just say, okay, I'm not practicing witchcraft anymore. My books are burned. I'm going home. You can't do that. Because you know what happens when you sweep the house clean spiritually and you don't fill it with Christ? What does it say? Seven demons worse will come in. Okay? So it's a two thing. Just like Reuben had to rip out that nasty carpet, and him and Maria and Lisa didn't sit and say, oh, this is so cool. No, because you had that ugly concrete. No, you wanted the nice floor. You had to bring in the good. Okay? And we're going to talk about that in Ephesians. We're going to talk what they did. Okay, they weren't done when they got rid of the old. No, I'm not going to go to the book of Ephesians. Sorry if I said that. I'm going to talk about the Ephesians, though. Flip the page to chapter 20. Okay? Flip the page to chapter 20. Okay. And look at verse 16. Okay. Acts chapter 20, verse 16. Okay. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be in Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Okay? So what did Paul do? He did these circuits, right? And he sometimes came back around to places he'd been before. When he was in Ephesus, if you read chapter 19, he's there for a while, a couple of years. Okay? And then he looped back around. And he, okay, this is your homework, to read chapter 19, where Paul taught the Ephesians the word. So what you got to do is when you get rid of the old, you got to fill it with the new. Okay, this is the part that we all need to be ready for, because the enemy, okay, the old is thrown out. He's mad. He don't like that. He'll try to get in if you don't fill it with the new. Fill it with the new. Fill yourself with the word. I love what you preached on Sunday, Rich. Fill with the word. Okay? You're not done yet. And get ready to fight. Okay? Look at 17. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. What did he do when he was there? He filled the people with the Word of God. That's good. That is awesome. When you chuck out the old and you fill with the new, you're revived. You're healthy. But again, enemy not going to leave you alone. Okay, verse 23. Except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Okay? How much? A little bit of the Word of God? The whole deal. The whole counsel. Okay? Verse 28. Therefore, take heed I'm sorry, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. I'm going to stop there. The enemy's going to come in. Okay. What I like about Wednesday nights is because the people who come Wednesday nights are serious. Okay. Like these shepherds. Okay. So Paul isn't saying this to the congregation of Ephesus. No, he's saying it to the elders. He's saying it to the people who are serious, the leaders. Okay. And what is he saying? He's warning them. He says, watch out. The enemy's going to come in. And you got to do what? You got to protect the flock. Even though you know it, he taught him 3 years, you got to get ready and fight. Okay? And I'm going to stop there. And hold on. Yes. Okay. Like I said, Book of Ephesians. I'm going to skip it. It's a big book. There's a lot there. That's kind of your homework assignment if you want to read the Book of Ephesians. Okay? I'm now going to go to the Book of Revelation. Okay? Last book of the Bible, go to Revelation chapter 2. Okay, remember Ephesians, not the book of Ephesians, the Ephesians. Okay, and do you remember, they chucked the old, they burned the books, they were warned and the wolves were coming. Okay, let's go to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm not going to start at verse 1. Chapter 1. Chapter 2. I'm going to start in chapter 1, verse 10. Because one of the things you got to know is the best way to explain the Bible is with the Bible. Okay? So before I get into chapter 2, I've got to take you to chapter 1, verse 10. Okay? It says, in my Bible, it's the same page. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. And we know that this is the Apostle John. Okay. So he was what? He was in his spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard a voice as of a trumpet. Verse 11 says, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke to me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. This is Jesus Christ. Write the things which you have seen and the things which are and the things which will take place after this. The mystery, this is what I want you to understand. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. So I took you on. When do you get to that? You got to know that before you get to chapter 2, verse 1. Okay? So that was the background. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I'm going to stop there. Okay, do you remember in Ephesus? Let's go back to Acts. They witness a deliverance. The word of God went all around. They're like, wow, something mighty is happening. And then the people came confessing their deeds, burning their books. Chapter 20, what did they do? They received, Paul talks about that for 3 years, they received instruction on the full counsel of God. They got filled with the mighty power of God. They got filled with the word of God. And then before Paul, when Paul saw them last, he said, watch out. Wolves are coming and they're going to come from within you. Okay? They got warned. This is the last testimony the Lord has to the Ephesians. The last. And he says what? He says, I know your works, your labor, your patience. You cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who say they're apostles or not and found them liars. You have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. These are good words, right? These are good words. He's saying, you guys have done well. But verse 4, nevertheless. This is scary. This should scare kind of everybody in a good way. Because 2 Timothy says, we don't have a spirit of fear, but there's healthy reverence to know I'm still responsible. I'm in the kingdom. My books are burned. Okay, my past is burned. I fill myself with the word. I've been warned of the wolves. But look at verse 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Wow. Left your first love. This is something we need to be serious about maintaining that love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ just didn't die just so we could like walk into the kingdom. He wants a relationship with us. He wants, remember I talked about that map? He just doesn't want you to like say, okay, X marks the spot you're saved. That's not what he wants to do. He wants to take you through and grow you. He wants to give you, I read in Psalms today, the inheritance of the nations. There are millions of people that don't have Christ. They need us. They really do. They really do. They may not know it, they may not say it, but they really do need us. The Lord can come and reveal himself to the whole world, but he chose not to do that. He wants to use his people. And if you've ever led, I think most of you probably have led people to the Lord. I've done it hundreds of times. And I'm not saying to brag. I'm just saying, I have. I've had people ask me, I need to get saved. I mean, that's why I love Mexico. I've had people come up to me and say, I'm ready to get saved. And I know Melissa, my mentor, it's happened to him too, but it's like, I haven't even preached anything. I don't care. I'm ready to get saved. The Lord wants to use us. All the stuff that's happening in the world is the enemy trying to scare us. But the Lord wants to use his people to bring home, bring souls into the kingdom. He really does. And it's really cool when you do. And again, the Lord just didn't draw an X that you're saved. He wants this map of cool things that you can go back over the years and go, I was here. Oh, wow. Look what I learned here. Look what I learned here. Look at the harvest that happened here. And he wants every new year to be better. Do you remember what I titled this as? It's a time or season for something new and better. It is. I love this because I felt it even before the pastors even brought it up. That it is, this year is going to be a good year. It really is going to be a good year. It's not just going to be you know, the little things that we did last year a little bit better. It's going to be radically different. Radically different. Okay? So, do you remember when I go to the drug addicts, a lot of times they ask me, okay, I believe that, but how do I do it? Okay? And I showed you guys, I didn't make this up. I showed you in Scripture. Confession. That's a big one. That's huge. And I showed you how the Ephesians did it. They burn bridges. Like I said, I love Lee Grady's article. And he's right. We should not burn bridges. We should build bridges among the brethren. Yeah, but there's some bridges we need to burn. Okay, any tie with the enemy of your past, any guilt you have, you need to burn it. Anything that's holding you down, relationships, you need to chuck them. And some of these guys in Mexico, that's really hard. I remember one guy, and I'm not going to even say any details, but one of the things I learned about Mexico, and I love Mexico, is they let me be kind of direct, and I just asked them, so what were you like? I knew you were a bad guy, and the guy told me, I used to kidnap people. Okay? And he told me, too, he says, you know, I can't confess that in front of the church because the mafia will kill me. Okay? But we need to cut out the bad to let the new come in. Okay? So I'm going to give some examples. Okay? I gave you Scripture, right? I took you through, not the book of Ephesians, but took you about the Ephesians, right? From Acts 19, 20, and also took you to Revelation, the very last, which says, okay, when you get there, don't forget it's all about a love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you forget that, that's like 1 Corinthians 13. You know, if we don't have love, we're just missing the whole deal. I mean, I could do deliverance on thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, and if I don't love these people and I don't love my Lord, I just wasted my time. Okay? So, here I gave you progression of how, because they ask me that all the time. How? Let me show you in the Word, because my examples aren't really that good. Okay, so I am going to talk about you, okay? It's a new year. Everyone, I know every one of you has just something, you can probably see it in your mind's eye, something, you know, not just you should do. This is not like, you know, I really need to, you know, trivial things. No. Things you kind of want to do, the Lord's planted on you, and you know you should do it because the Lord gave it to you. You need to do it. And I know about being scared. I'll never forget, and you guys, I think most of you guys know, first time I walked in the prison, I was scared. It was in Winslow, Arizona, and I heard that door slam. And if you've ever been in a prison and you heard the door slam, it's not like clink, clink, clink. It's like boom, and you're, and you realize, I ain't getting out too quickly. So it's okay to be scared. David was scared. He says, when I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Okay? So this is about you. This is your year. And I told the drug addicts this too. This is your year. To what? Chuck out the old and bring in the new. And there's this, I could go down the list. Maybe this is your year to learn how to speak a new language. Maybe this is your year to, I don't know, write a worship song. To street witness. Maybe this is your, I like that coffee shop. Did you guys hear about the pastor's coffee shop? That is so cool. I was like, oh, that would be really neat. Not on my heart, but I thought that was cool. Maybe it's your year to start a coffee shop. Here we have Mitch right here. And Mitch knows this. Mitch got an anointing of healing. This was a couple of months ago. And his mom even knows about it. Maybe this is the year that Mitch starts a healing ministry. I don't know. But it is a new year, and it's a good one. This is not just something, oh yeah, I want to bump it. It's going to go up. And just like this says, it's a year of increase. It's a good year. It's a year to do things you've never thought you could do. I never thought. So I'm going to tell you something I never thought I would do. Well, there's a lot of things I never thought I'd do that I do. Going to prison. But this year, the Lord put on my heart, I'm going to tell you what happened. So back in December, I think you guys know, for years I've been visiting the drug rehabs in on the border in Chihuahua and Navajo, Obregon. And I've been going and I've been preaching. Good. I like it. I've led lots of people to the Lord. It's been, I love that ministry. But the Lord says this year, it's like, okay, you're here. Bump it up. Okay. So this happened in right before, it was the week before Christmas. Melissa and I were in Agua Prieta at, I'll call it, it's one of my favorite drug rehabs. It's a really nice one. I love the director. He's a really nice guy. And it's been so good, like some places I don't bring Melissa because it's, you know, if the guys break out fighting or something, I don't want her there. But no, it's been pretty good that I felt, okay, Melissa's ready. And there was a lady there that was saying, I need to be ministered to. And it's like, well, Melissa needs to come. So I brought Melissa. This was the 2 weeks before, I don't know, 2 weeks before we went to Flagstaff. I don't remember exactly the date. Okay, so I brought Melissa there. And we had the greatest time. We had people just praising the Lord. I mean, I can't go into details, but it was a great time. We had an excellent time. And I told them, I said, okay, when I come back next week, we're going to celebrate. No, I didn't tell them that. I said, we're going to have something really, really special. I was going to do like a Christmas celebration. Okay. The works. I was going to do something great. I go back the next week and everyone's real somber. And it's like, I walk in, it's like, hey, where's everybody? And they go, oh, about half of them jumped the razor wire. So in this drug rehab, they have razor wire on top. Yeah, it's not like in America, we think drug rehabs are, you know, where the Hollywood stars go and they they got razor wire. And I get there and like, well, where's Marcos? Because I call my son. I have a son named Marco. It's like, where's Marcos? Se fue. How? He went over the wall. And I'm like, well, where did Oscar go? He went over the wall too. And it's like, whoa, broke my heart. Oscar really received. I gave him a nice sweatshirt. So the Lord just put on my heart, you got to bump it up. Okay, preaching is good. There's nothing wrong with it. I need to still do it, but I need to bump it up. And the Lord put on my heart to start a workshop. And people need to be discipled. You guys know that? Hearing the word is great. Preaching the word is awesome. But being discipled is incredible. And the Lord just put on my heart, I got to disciple these guys that want to be. And I know not all of them want to be. People always, they always come to me and say, you know, I really want this, but I know they don't. I mean, I can see it in their eyes. But some I do. When I see it, yeah, that guy really does. I can tell it. Okay? So the Lord put on my heart to start a workshop. I'm going to start screen printing t-shirts. And if the Lord opens up the door, we're going to go look at renting a place. We've walked through the place, and supposedly it's ready tomorrow. We're going to rent it, and I'm going to try it. I'm going to try discipling these drug addicts when they get out on, you know, making t-shirts is one thing, but no, really getting in how to live, how to talk, how to, you know, just the things in life. They don't know. A lot of these guys don't even have parents. Okay. So that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to step out. I talked about you, and I can't tell you what you're to do because you know, and I don't. But you're going to step out in faith. I'd like, Pastor Calvin said that. He said that today. Step out in faith. I can't calculate everything. You know, I was an engineer, and you know, believe it or not, I really do teach mathematics. I'm so embarrassed. You know what's so funny? I got to tell you this. Pastor Calvin does this once in a while, too. So when I teach math, I tell you what. You know the one thing is funny? Is I can sit like back in a math class and I can whiz through. I'm not going to make a mistake. But when I get up in front of the blackboard, I make mistakes. And like I say, I got this mic in my hand. I'm going to make mistakes. And I do. And you know what I do in Mexico? I'm sorry. You know what I do in my class at the university in Sierra Vista? When I make a mistake and someone catches me, I give them candy. I don't have any candy, but I do have some candy at home for you, man. So that kind of keeps my students, because I teach at night, and math at night, people fall asleep. So I give them candy if they catch me, make a mistake. Okay, so I'm sorry, that was so off track. Okay, so I'm going to ask the question, what's new? What's new? You know what's new in your life. Do it. If you're scared, do it anyway. I'm scared. I remember I used to be scared to go to Agua Prieta. Not anymore, but I really was. I'm not anymore. Do it. This is your year. And a few minutes more and then I'll stop. Okay. I'm going to tell you what's new in Mexico. How many of you guys have been to Mexico in the last year? Okay. A few of you. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Things in Mexico are changing, right? Right? Things are changing. And actually, you know, when the places we go, the changes are really good, I think. I'm seeing new roads being built. I talk to people, and it's like, you know, I've talked to a couple of young guys that got college degrees, kind of like technician, good degrees. And I'm just hearing good things. And I'm going to tell you what we saw on Thursday, okay? Melissa and I, so you guys know, I don't think, if you watch the news, you might know or not, but the price of gas in Mexico went up. And they're not too happy. And one of the things I know, I'm not Mexican, but one of the things I know about Mexicans is there's certain things they just don't do. Like Mexicans, they don't cut in lines. Americans do. Mexicans don't. I've been to Walmart. I've been all over the place. Mexicans don't tend to cut in lines. The other thing Mexicans don't tend to do, they don't tend to complain. Americans were whiners. We whine. I mean, there are people right now, I guarantee, are whining about the weather. How can you whine about the weather? This is the best weather in the world. But I'm sure there are people, you guys know, you're smiling. I know you know. This is not January. This is the best weather in the world. How are you complaining? But Mexicans, they don't complain. I've been around them. But I tell you, we crossed the border Thursday, and I saw some angry people. They're really upset about this whole gasoline thing. They took over the aduana. I didn't see anyone in uniform. We were crossing. It took like 30 minutes just to go a little short distance. And I saw a bunch of angry people with their little signs, and they're angry. That's not good. That's really not good. Mexicans, they don't complain. They're angry. So there's some changes going on. And I kind of see it's kind of like this. You guys know the fork in the road. I'm going to stop after this. This is a year I see in my spirit eyes of huge prosperity for Mexico. I don't know. I just do. I'm seeing all these things get in place, and I'm seeing Mexico is ready to prosper huge. I mean, so it sounds like Pastor Barber feels the same thing. I'm just seeing the evidence. They're ready. Okay. And I'm also seeing angry people. I'm also seeing people, you know, these drug addicts, you know, some of these kids, you realize some of these kids shooting heroin are like 15, 13, 14 years old. Heroin is nasty. Nobody should ever take heroin. I didn't. It's serious. The addiction is serious. The enemy wants to take that nation and destroy it. And I'm seeing right now, they're on the verge of prospering. The churches in Mexico, they're doing really good. There are churches all over the place. I can't tell you. I don't think I've ever been to a town where I didn't see a good church preaching the Word of God. Mexico's ready, okay, for something new, for something new, for something new to prosper, okay? So I'm going to end it. I'm going to end it there. Again, we talked about the power of confession. Of how we talked about mapping, we talked about chucking the old, burning the old, filling with the Word of God. I love that message Pastor Mitch gave on Sunday. And being ready for the fight. Enemy wants to take you down, wants to take me down, wants to take this church down, wants to take Mexico down. We need to fight. And it's not going to be an increment. We're not going to fight with an incremental improvement. The enemy's not doing that. He's bumping it up. We need to fight. We need to take that leap of faith and do what God told us to do this year and take down the enemy. Okay? So I'm gonna pray and I'm gonna end. Heavenly Father, Lord, we declare that every word that came from my mouth is at your discretion to remove from our memories or to enhance. I ask you, Lord Jesus, continue to lift up these people in this church, Faith Ministries in Douglas, Arizona. I ask you to bless our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout this town, throughout this region, throughout Mexico. I ask you, Lord Jesus, build up your people. Give us the confidence we need to take that step of faith. Lord, we need you. We can't do this without you. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to show us what we're to do to have that increase, abundant increase. Lord, we want to see your kingdom grow. That's all we want to do. We want to see that kingdom grow, your kingdom. We ask you, Lord Jesus, give us your eyes. Fill us, take away the fear. And Lord Jesus, we pray these things in your holy name because you're it. We have nothing else but you. And it's in your name, Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen. Okay, sorry I went late. So Pastor Calvin said, and I like this, if anyone would like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, today's your day. I don't know everybody. Don't wait. And there's nothing greater. Again, that's not an X on your map, but it's the door that you got to go through to have that abundant life. So today's your day. If you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, today's your day. And could, oh yeah, birthday cake. Oh yeah. Great.
We got a letter yesterday from Port H.O., and he was apologizing. He communicates with us real regular, and he was apologizing for having this kind of a gap in communication. He said, I was so consumed and so busy during my pecan harvest that everything just took a lot longer this year because the harvest was so abundant. Praise be to God, he said.
We're praying for that. We're praying for his harvest.
It almost sounded like he was just, maybe he had a bunch of problems or something, because it took a lot longer this year, and I'm going, what, did his tractor break down? And then he said,